There's a fable that's told about the devil having a yard sale. When word started to spread that the devil was having a yard sale, people were very inquisitive, wondering what the devil could be selling at a yard sale. And so the day of, a large crowd from the community gathered to see what items might be on the tables at this yard sale. As they walked from table to table, they saw all kinds of tools that the devil was getting rid of at incredibly reduced prices. But there in the corner was a tool that with a sign that said, "Not for sale." The crowd was very inquisitive as to what this tool was. They began to murmur amongst themselves, surmising what it might be, but nobody could quite figure it out. Finally, a man who was very courageous came up to the devil and said, "Hey, excuse me, that tool that's in the corner, what is it that you're not selling?" The devil paused and looked at the man and said, "Oh, that is my most valuable tool. That is discouragement. You see, with that tool, I can get discouragement into the hearts of mankind. And if I can get discouragement in their hearts, there's just about anything else I can plant in their hearts afterwards. All these other tools I can do without, but I can't do without discouragement." Perhaps on your journey from here to there, you thought it would be easy. You thought that because God was in this and he was the one calling you to there, that the times would be very, very easy and there would be no discouragement on the journey. But the truth is that in our journey from here to there, there can be lots of difficulties. And in those moments where we face difficulties, discouragement can fill our hearts. In Exodus chapter 5, we see the ramifications of discouragement. After Moses has faced some rejection from the people, he comes to God and he says these words in verses 22 and 23. It says, "Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Why, Lord, have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble for this people, and you have not rescued your people at all.'" Moses is so discouraged by what he's facing that he begins to even question God. He says, "Why have you brought this trouble?" He questions the character of God. Is God really good? "Why have you sent me?" He questions God's purpose. And then he says, "You have not rescued us." He questions God's actions. You see, in the journey from here to there, Moses discovered that it wasn't as easy as he thought. Just because God promises to take us to a new place, a better place, doesn't mean that the path will be void of difficulties. I want to look at this morning in Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 to 21. It reads this: "Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness.' Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go.' Then they said, 'The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now, let's take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword.' But the king of Egypt said, 'Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work.' Then Pharaoh said, 'Look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working.' That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and overseers in charge of the people: 'You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce their quota. They are lazy. That's why they're crying out, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.' Make their work harder for the people so that they keep working and pay no attention to the lies.' Then the slave drivers and the overseers went out and said to the people, 'This is what Pharaoh says: I will not give you any more straw. Go get your straw wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced at all.' So the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, 'Complete the work required of you for each day, just as when you had straw.' And Pharaoh's slave drivers beat the Israelites overseers that had they had appointed, demanding, 'Why haven't you met your quota of bricks yesterday or today as before?' Then the Israelite overseers went and appealed to Pharaoh, 'Why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw and we're told to make bricks. Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people.' Pharaoh said, lazy. That's what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Now, get to work. You will not be given any bricks. Yet you must produce your full quota of bricks. The Israelite overseers realized they were in trouble, and when they were told, you will not reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day. When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them, and they said, may the Lord look on you and judge you. You have made us obnoxious to Pharaoh and his officials and put a sword in their hand to kill us. So here it is. God's called Moses to go to Egypt to take the people of Israel from here to there, to go from a bad place to a better place. And yet the journey proves to be more difficult than they thought. Rather than it being easy, it becomes even increasingly more difficult. And friends, what happens is Moses gets discouraged. Perhaps in your journey you face some difficulties and things have not seemed as easy as you thought they would be, and you have got discouraged. I want to tell you today that in the moments of discouragement and the journey from here to there, there are some things that you need to hold on to. So let's look at some of the discouragements we might face. First, closed doors. In the ancient Near East, a king was expected to receive anybody who wanted to talk to him. That meant the person could be a rich person or a poor person. It could be somebody who was well respected in the community or somebody who was an outlaw. If that person approached the king, he was to accept them. And so Moses and Aaron realized that they would have no problems having an audience with Pharaoh, even though Moses was a wanted man. In fact, they thought it might be pretty easy because they were bringing the 12 elders of Israel with them. And so they come before Pharaoh and they say, God wants us to go out into the wilderness to worship him, a three-day journey out. They expected that Pharaoh would respond in a very positive way. But what happens is, to their surprise, Moses says, not a chance. And he closes the door on what Moses thinks is supposed to take place. He closes the door on Israel leaving here and going to there. Friends, I want you to know something, that this is not something against Moses. This is not something that Pharaoh has against the people of Israel. This is something that Pharaoh has against the God of Israel. He says these words, I don't know your God, or I don't know Yahweh. This is not because he has no information on Israel's God. What he is saying is, I don't know who this God is. I am so superior that I don't even pay attention to the inferior gods. You see, Pharaoh is trying to shut the door because he wants to minimize who God is. And that creates a discouraging moment that God was supposed to take care of. You see, when we are going from here to there, we're going to find that there are moments where something works against us, brings discouragement our way because the door is closed. Often what we do, though, when we face a closed door, is we say something like this. When God closes one door, he opens another. How many of you have ever said that? But here's the question. What if God doesn't close the door? What if it's somebody else who closes the door? What if the door that gets closed for you is a door that God wants open? You see, God wanted Israel to leave the place of here and go to the there. But Pharaoh, to try to prove that he's the superior God, he closes the door that God wants open. You see, God gives us free will. And because he gives us free will, he allows us to harden our hearts to some of the things that he actually wants to take place. I'll never forget applying to a church when I was in district office. And I really thought that this was something that God wanted. It was stirring in my heart. There was so much that made sense about this church. The DNA of this church fit who I was. The history of this church fit who I was. The community fit who I was. And what they were looking for was a pastor who had the skill set that I had. As I went through the process, I ended up finding out that they went with another candidate. What surprised me about the process was this. Not only did the door get closed that I thought God had opened, but the individual that they had chosen was somebody who didn't really fit their community, somebody who had never practiced pastoring in a style that in past experiences that fit where the church was wanting to go, and yet they still went with this person because there were some political things taking place. Well, I found out that I wasn't going to be the one chosen for this church, and so at first I was quite disappointed. Well, a couple days later, my boss called me into his office and he asked me how I was doing. My response was simply this. I said, you know, I was disappointed at first, but I got to tell you something. I'm angry right now. He looked at me in surprise. He wasn't ready for that kind of vulnerability. He says, well, you know, the truth is that we really find God's will in the midst of the process. And then I responded quickly and I said, I don't believe that. Well, that kind of set him back in his seat. I said, let me ask you a question. Do you think it was God's will for the Israelites to wander in the desert for 40 years, to wander in the wilderness for 40 years? You see, I believe that mankind has free will and they're able to close their hearts off to some of the things that God wants. And I think that in this situation that God had called me to this place, but they closed the door. You see, there are moments where somebody closes a door that God wants opened. And when doors are closed on the way to there, we have to focus on who God is. You see, it's not about the door. It's not the door that we need to be focused on, but we need to focus on who God is. You see, Pharaoh wants to minimize God's place in Israel's eyes. But God will always find a way to get us there, even if a Pharaoh closes the door. I love this in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 27. For the Lord Almighty has purpose, and who can thwart him? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? You see, I want you to know that God is never limited by the closed doors. We've got to trust God that even though mankind has the free will to close doors in the path that God may want open, that God can find another way. If God has a plan to get you to the there, even if he wants you to walk through an open a door that should be open and somebody comes along and closes it, God will find another way. And here's Pharaoh trying to close the door, and God's not frustrated, he's not discouraged, he's not defeated, because he knows that no one can thwart the hand of God, and he will find another way. He will find a way to get Israel from Egypt to the promised land. If you're going through a situation and there are closed doors on your path from here to there, friends, don't let discouragement fill your heart, but know who God is. He's the God who sets the course, and no one can thwart his ways. If a door is closed, he will still find a way to get you there. The second kind of discouragement that we will face is distractions. Pharaoh says, you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to cause Israel to make bricks without straw. You see, in those days, bricks were made with dirt, water, and straw. Straw made bricks three times stronger and less likely to fall apart if they were added into the mix. And so what would normally take place would there be workers who would bring straw to the place where the bricks were being made, and the Israelites were required to probably make somewhere between 100 and 300 bricks a day. That was their quota. But now, Pharaoh says, you know what? Not only are they going to have to make bricks, but they're going to have to go to the place where the straw is. That meant walking a distance. That meant going to another place. That meant putting in more hours. That meant adding to the process. Listen to me for a second. When someone feels maxed out and something is added to their plate, it prevents their mental ability to go to the places sometimes that God wants our mental focus to be. You see, when my mind is completely taxed with what's before me and somebody adds something else, I don't have enough mental capacity to take on some other thing. There's an overload mentally. And what Pharaoh wants is he wants to put an overload in the minds of the people of God. He wants to overload their mind by focusing not just on building the magazine cities, but having to go and find ways to get the straw and still fulfill their quota. He is trying to distract them from what God wants them to do. He is trying to distract them from this plan to get to the place of the promised land. You see, the enemy will often add distractions to your life to overload you and try to prevent you from thinking about the there. Mark chapter 14, verse 19 says, "But the worries of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." Listen to that first part. but the worries of the world. Friends, there are times on your journey from here to there that the car breaks down, that you start to feel sick, that there is an argument between you and your spouse, that there is chaos at work, that new things happen, worries fill your mind, so that the word that God's planted in you about getting to the there gets choked out and you are completely distracted. Friday, October 18th, 1991, world-class Chicago Symphony was performing its 100th anniversary concert. It was the first time in U.S. symphony history that a conductor and the previous two conductors had stood on the same stage to direct the choir. They would be performing at the world-famous Chicago's Historic Orchestra Hall. Prior to their evening concert, there was a dinner, and all the patrons in the room were given a special clock to celebrate and to commemorate this 100th anniversary. Well, the dinner finished, and now it was not time for the evening concert. This brilliantly talented group of individuals sat at their positions on the stage, all with their instruments, pianist at the piano, the celloist, every instrument you can think of, with the conductor standing before them. Their job was to simply watch the conductor take them from the place they were at through the various musical notes and play something so beautiful that it would fill the air to take them from their here to the there. Well, the concert began, and the crowd sat in great anticipation as they were ready to hear Tchaikovsky's first piano concerto. The atmosphere was absolutely electric. People were enamored by the sounds that they heard. As they moved on to the next piece, it was now 9:15, and as the music was playing, they began to hear a little beep, then another little beep, then another little beep, then another little beep, and now the entire auditorium had all kinds of beeps taking place, all kinds of little beeping sounds that were occurring. Well, these little sounds in the midst of this beautiful sound of these instruments were causing distractions to the orchestra, and they kept missing their notes, and they kept missing the rhythm, and they hit bad notes, and things just sounded absolutely terrible. You see, what took place was those patrons who had been at the dinner had their clocks. And there was a malfunction in these clocks that would cause the clocks to have the alarm go off at 9:15. And so as they're trying to play this incredible piece of music, all these weird sounds are taking place. And because of these little sounds, in the midst of this overwhelmingly great sound from the stage, the musicians got distracted. Well, they didn't really know what to do, but finally the executive director got on stage, addressed the crowd, said, "I'm sorry about what's taken place. Our orchestra has become distracted by all the sounds that we're hearing, the alarms from the clocks that are in your hands. We have discovered that there's a malfunction in those clocks, and we're asking you to help us tonight to get our orchestra focused. Would you simply hand the clocks to the ushers, and we'll give it to you at the end of the night?" And so those clocks were handed to the ushers, and the orchestra went on to play focus and got to their destination of delivering a beautiful concert. Friends, sometimes it's the small, irregular little things in life, the little things that come along that are so irregular that they distract us from reaching our goal. And like this orchestra, the answer to the problem is simply this: hand it over to the usher. What do I mean by that? Well, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 and 8 says, "Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Friends, I want you to know that this idea of casting your anxiety or casting your cares upon God is directly tied into being alert for the enemy's tactics. Because the enemy will try to distract you if you hold on to the anxieties and the cares, those little beeps that are getting you distracted from where God wants to take you. And what Peter says is, we need to cast those distractions. We need to cast those clocks that are going off. We need to cast the broken down car, the argument with our spouse, the problem with our child, the difficulty at work, the house problem. We need to cast those things, put them in the usher's bucket, cast them upon God so that we can be alert for the enemy who's trying to get us off course from the place that God wants to take us. Our alertness has to be tied into casting distractions to God, towards God. Friends, if you've been distracted, if things are consuming your mind and preventing you from getting from the place you are at to the place that God wants to take you, hand them over to God. You probably are sitting there thinking to yourself, well, I've done that. I've gone to prayer and said, God, I give this to you, but I'm still distracted after that. Let me encourage you to do something. When you pray, hand it to God. And don't stop praying. Don't stop releasing it until you feel a peace that comes over your soul, a peace that says to you, everything's going to be okay. Now I can focus on the place that God wants to take us. Cast your distractions upon God. The last thing that can come our way in this journey from here to there that could be discouraging is loneliness. You see, the workload seems so impossible for them to produce all these bricks without straw. And the people who were in charge were being beaten, and they're so upset that they came to the elders and they're like, hey, we are so frustrated that we are not able to do our work, and we're so under so much pressure because of the quotas that we're supposed to fulfill. This is ridiculous. This is all because of Moses. And the elders come to Moses and they say these words: may the Lord look on you and judge you. May the Lord look on you and judge you. Friends, literally what they're saying is this: may God consider what you've done and punish you for it. This is such a significant point, because this is the moment where the children of Israel, the leaders representing the entire nation, say to Moses, we're done with you. We're done following you. We're done with your ideas of taking us from here to there. We are so fed up. Things have gotten worse. You are all alone in this endeavor. We're done. And in that moment, Moses had no one supporting his dream. He had no more followers. He was all alone. You see, in your journey from here to there, there will be moments that you will feel all alone. Something will take place that causes other people to get upset. I first began preaching when I was 15 years old. By the time I was 17, I was preaching once a month in our youth group. I was pretty raw. The only thing that I really had going for me at that time was that God was doing something in my heart, that he was pulling things out and planting things inside of me, and I was so passionate about Jesus. And so every time I prepared to preach before my youth group, I would preach to them based upon what God was doing in my heart. And I would challenge them to live holier. And I would challenge them to go more after God. And I would confront things that would get in our way. It was revivalistic, even though it was terrible, terrible preaching. Occasionally, I'd get parents coming to me and tell me that their kids had got something out of it. So that kept me going, even though I was a pretty bad preacher at that time. Well, it was one night I was about to preach to our youth group, and just as we finished our pre-service prayer, one of my peers came over to me and said, hey, do you mind if I talk to you for a few moments? He pulled me aside and we had a little conversation, and what he said next just tore my heart. He began to talk to me about how legalistic I was, how religious I was, how out of control I was with my preaching. He just threw judgment down upon me, and he ripped a shred off me, tore me up one side and down the other. It was absolutely awful. And then he said, I hope you'll receive my words in brotherly love. Brotherly love. Anyways, I was quite frustrated. Well, it was pretty easy to preach that night. No, it was the most difficult time trying to deliver what God put on my heart. All I could think about was his words. As I walked home from youth that night, his words couldn't escape my mind. I felt misunderstood. I felt judged. Friends, I felt so alone. And I realized something that night is that when you try to go from here to there, when you try to go after what God has for your life, there are going to be moments where you will feel completely alone, because people will misunderstand you and they will judge you. They will question your motives. They will question your capabilities. They will cause you to stand all by yourself. And not only that, they will even question whether or not you've heard from God. I'll never forget my cousin in Bible college. He was my roommate, and one night we were just sitting talking, and he told me a story about a relative of mine who said that she questioned whether or not I'd go into ministry. You see, I'd had two uncles who had gone to Bible college who never ended up going into full-time ministry. And this relative simply said, "I think Jeff will just be like them. He'll never pastor a church." Man, I felt gutted that night. I felt so alone. My real experience, how do I prove that to people? How do I prove that God's called me? See, that's what Moses was feeling. He's standing before the elders of Israel, and they're saying, "We're done with you. We don't believe God's called you." And there are going to be moments where what God has spoken into your heart, nobody understands. You feel all alone. So what does Moses do? He does what you need to do. The Bible tells us that when he hears these words from the elders, he then goes to God. He leans into God. Friends, this is so basic, but you don't know how many times you're going to need to lean into God in the journey from here to there. And as he leans into God, he complains and he's so frustrated. He questions God like we talked about at the beginning of the message. Chapter 6 gives us a little bit of the response. And God does two things. He reiterates his plan to Moses. "I promise you, we're going to get you out of there. I'm going to take the children of Israel out of Egypt." And then he reveals who he is. He says, "Let me tell you who I am. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob." And he begins to declare his personality. You see, even after he shares that to Moses, and Moses goes back to the children of Israel and says, "Hey, God told me the plan again. God told me who he is again." They still don't believe Moses. He's still feeling alone. But God's point is not to convince the Israelites. God's point is to do something in Moses' life, that Moses, in his discouragement, when he feels all alone, that he hangs on to a promise, that when he feels all alone, he remembers the presence of God, who God is. And friends, when you are feeling all alone in your journey from here to there, you need to lean into God. And when nobody else is believing you, when you feel misunderstood and judged, lean into God, grab hold of his promise, and grab hold of his presence, because he is what matters the most. I love the words in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. God says to Joshua, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Friends, I want to tell you, do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Even if you feel all alone on the journey from here to there, even if everybody's questioning you and you feel misunderstood and judged, God is with you every step of the way. Lean into his promises, lean into his presence. He's there the entire journey. This week I started to watch a show that has been on Netflix for quite some time. It's about my favorite basketball player of all time, Michael Jordan, and maybe some of you have seen it. It's called The Last Dance. I was intrigued the other day about the episode I had watched. You see, The Last Dance is about Michael Jordan, unquestionably the best basketball player to ever live. Absolutely fantastic superstar who did things that basically nobody else has ever done. Well, when he was at North Carolina prior to the NBA, prior to playing with the Chicago Bulls, he went to his assistant coach, Roy Williams, one day, and he said to him, "I plan to be the best player who's ever played for this university, for North Carolina's Tar Heels." Well, his coach responded in a way that Michael Jordan wasn't expecting. He says, "Well, Michael, if you're going to be the best player, you're going to have to work harder than you did in high school." Michael Jordan was a little bit offended. He says, what do you mean harder than I did in high school? I worked just as hard as everybody else." And then Coach Roy Williams responded. He says, "Excuse me, I thought you said you wanted to be the best." You see, in that moment, he was saying to Michael, if you want to go further than other people have gone, you're going to have to stretch yourself harder. You're going to have to work harder. You're going to have to face more difficulties. You're going to have to put more into it than other people. Where people are willing to stop because they're tired and they're exhausted and they're discouraged, you're going to have to go the extra mile if you want to get to the places that nobody else has got. Friends, listen to me. If God is calling you from here to there, you can go to just a place of discouragement, the place of exhaustion, the place of tiredness. But if you really want to go further to the place that God's got for you, you've got to allow discouragement quick to fall aside. When doors are closed, you've got to remember who he is, that he is the one who can still find a way. No one can thwart the hand of God. Maybe your doors have been closed on the journey that you think God wants to take you on. I'm here today to tell you that just because you're standing in front of a closed door doesn't mean that God has forgotten about his there. I want to tell you that when you're facing distractions, that you need to hand the clock to the ushers, that you need to bring your cares and your worries and the things that might consume you to God and let him carry it for you so that you can be focused on the there. And friends, when you feel all alone, when you feel misunderstood, when you feel judged, I want to tell you, lean into God, because when you do, he will reveal his promises and he will reveal his presence, that he is with you every step of the way. Do not be discouraged, for he is with you wherever you go. Jesus, I thank you so much for my friends who are watching. And some of them have felt the call of God from the place they're at to a greater place. Maybe it's a social journey. Maybe it's an occupational journey. Maybe it's a volunteer journey. I don't know what it is, God, but the place where we're at to a better place. And the enemy has come along and has discouraged so many, that has closed doors, has distracted, has made people feel all alone. God, I'm asking today that you would push discouragement from their life. If the door has been closed, let them realize that our God is big enough to open more doors, to take us a different route. The hand of God can't be thwarted. God, if they've been distracted, let them cast every distraction to you and be focused on where you're taking them. Most of all, God, when they feel lonely, I pray that they will lean into you and your promises will ring in their ears and your presence will overwhelm them today. Let discouragement leave, so that they can continue on with the journey from here to there, walking in confidence in Jesus Christ. I pray this now in the name of Jesus. Amen.